Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters Weekly. This is episode number 12, and the production code is capital U, lowercase g. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about dependency injection, and we're going to walk through how you can kind of leverage this inside your applications. So I have this idea that when somebody goes to my a page that I've got in my application, that we're going to see a picture of a monster.
Sounds scary, James.
Don't worry, it's not so scary. This is a monster that you know, so it's not going to be too bad at all. I am just waiting for a browser to start up. Here we go. And I will pull it in. Now, we're going to inject the monster into the page. So I could just go in and hard code this so that I have just a very specific monster on the page, or I have even a random one that I have here. But if I want to get my monsters from a different source, depending on whether or not I'm in production or in the netherworld or on Mars, then I might want to alter how I inject the monster, or in particular what type of monster it might be, or you know, those kinds of things. So depending on my environment, depending on perhaps the user account, there might be all kinds of different reasons why we might want to use a different way to resolve which monster shows up. And one of the ways that we can do it is by using dependency injection. Now, I don't want to limit it just to alternate providers. There's actually a lot of benefits for dependency injection. When we have a service, that service may take on dependencies onto other external pieces. And when I've got a controller that wants to use that service, I don't want to have to know about all those external things. It makes it very complicated to test if I have to know everything that every service needs to know as well as their dependencies. Dependency injection kind of lets me say, okay, hang on, the only thing that I really care about is this particular service, an instance of this particular service. And the controller then doesn't have to worry about instantiating it. So this monster service that I'm injecting here, it might actually have dependencies on other things. And as the consumer of the service, I don't want to have to know how to get it started up properly. I know that there's a method on it. You know, I can go to, I'll go to my services here. There's an interface here. And this is what I'm interested in. I just want to get a monster. That's all I want to do. So on my controller, I can go back and look at it, and I see here that I've got this public home controller iMonster service, and I take in an instance of the monster service. You can see I'm not newing it up, I'm not passing it any parameters, it's just given to me. And how this
works, we're using what they call constructor injection here.
That's right, exactly. And so what's happening is that the runtime has a container that has all these known types. It knows how to resolve all these different types. And when it tries to create an instance of the home controller, it can't find a default parameterless constructor. So then it looks at the constructor that has a set of types that it understands and it knows how to resolve. And it finds this one. And because I've wired it up in startup, we'll go back to that in a second. But because I've wired it up in startup, it already knows how to resolve this monster service for me. Down in my about, I'm using the don't do this. We have episodes coming up on, like, we're doing view components and injection of services and stuff like that. For right now, I just don't want to complicate it. Right now, we're just gonna use the view bag. Don't do this though. But what
I think
I'm doing
we've said that in almost every episode.
I know
far.
We're like 10 in and we're still saying don't do this. So we're gonna have to show people what to actually do. But for right now, just trust me. We are not going to do this down the road. Okay, so we add a monster to our view bag, and this just makes it available in our view. And then the next step is we just pull that out of the view bag. So we just get the name and the thumbnail, and then that's just being, you know, processed by the Razor engine, the view engine, and then output to the page. So if I flip back to that guy there, every time I hit that, I'm getting a different monster. And we'll just keep going until we get Simon in here as well. There we go. Perfect. Okay, so each of the monsters has been served. So, back to startup. This is configure services. So this is where we set up our DI container. And the important thing to note here is that we don't have to do anything to get this invoked. This is going to be called for us by default by the framework. And more importantly, our configuration has already been loaded. So we have an opportunity. We've been talking about config on here for a couple of episodes now. We have an opportunity in startup to load all of the config before we even get started. It's kind of like the pre thing before the starting things of the ramp up thing. So we get to do that first. That was pretty clear, I'm sure, right?
I think so.
Yeah. The very first thing we do is load our config. So by the time we get here, we already understand what the expectations are of the runtime environment as expressed by configuration. So I can do things like read out connection strings. I point this out because before I was alluding to the idea that you could use a different service in a different environment simply by some kind of config switch. And you would do that here. So we have a monster service, but you might have a production monster service or a fake monster service or something that you want to run in the development environment, or perhaps by some other configuration flag that you just decide that you wanted to use a different one. So this is significant because Dave, as you know, the dependency injection was not previously part of the framework.
That's right. Yeah, you had to build all this wiring yourself by pulling in something like AutoFac or Ninject, and it wasn't a core piece of MVC at the time.
Right, and this is what's really cool about this is that there's actually a couple of layers of dependency injection going on. So there's a core aspect that's used more internally to do things like I believe resolve controller factories and things like that. There's a core level that we don't need to worry about, and then there's this level, but we can override. By the way, we can step in and if we've got more advanced scenarios that we need to tackle, then we can kind of use that those mechanisms as well. But that's not the intent. And this is a really thin, not intentionally limited in features of implementation of a dependency injection framework, with the intent that you can easily swap it out. So if you've got more complicated scenarios, then you can easily, as you said, go to something like an Inject or AutoFac. So
right.
Okay. So we do have a couple of things in here. So, for example, we've got this add transient. This is the scope or the lifetime of the dependency. And we have a few options here. So transient is essentially, it just means whenever anything needs it, it's going to use it. It's going to create an instance of this, whatever we've configured here, whatever we've bounded this interface. This, an instance of monster service will be created and injected into whatever's needed at each instance where it's required. So
potentially a lot of monster services that way.
Potentially a lot of monster services. And if all we're really wanting to do is to have a single, and let's be clear about that too. If you've got middleware that uses a monster service, and if you've got a controller and a view component and a view service, and if all of these things use a monster service, if we're using add transient, it's going to be a new instance of the monster service for each one of those that requests that in the constructor. So that's important to know. If there's any heavy lifting and you've got other ways of, you know, mitigating some of the performance hits, then you should do that. And one of the ways to do that would be to use what's called an instance. So we could do add instance. That would look something like this. We do services.addInstance. And in this case, we're actually going to give it the actual newed up version. We're going to instantiate it ourselves. And a reason why we might want to do that is to actually, if we've got some very specific things that we need to feed our constructor. And so we don't want to let the framework at this point it might be something like loading an API key or something that's very specific and we need a specific set of data. We can do that here. So we can actually create an instance of the monster service pre-configured the way that we need to, and then we can add that instance. And then I only have to, like, this is created this once, and then it will always be used throughout the entire application. Now, if I just want the one instance, again, if I just want the a single instance, but I don't have to worry so much about the creation of it, I can just defer it to the framework, and I can say add singleton, and then I give it the, you can see here, I give it the type, and I can give it the implementation type, so I can say it's going to be an iMonster service and a monster service, and the framework will create that for me. So the last one is actually kind of a mix of the idea of transient and the idea of singleton. It's not, and maybe more specifically, we want to think about it as the lifetime of the request. So if I add a scope dependency, this is the more the context of the current caller, so, or the current request. So once a request enters the pipeline and an instance of the monster service is required, in this case, it will be created for us by the framework, and it will be used for the lifetime of that request. This is super handy if you've got something that could be used by middleware throughout the lifetime of the request, all the way through to the controller. So there's some interesting applications there, and we're going to talk about some of those things in a later episode. Okay, anything else you wanted to add here on this? Or
I think that one interesting thing to point out, if you scroll down to the next method in your startup here, is that you can actually now, for this final configure step of startup, you mm-hmm. can pass in that method, you can pass in any services, so they actually get injected. And at this point, all of our all the wiring that we set up in that previous method is available. So you could actually inject your iMonster service in here if you needed it for some
already
reason.
That's right. So in this configure piece, now that we've got anything that we've said I want these services to be available, then now in this context I can make it's already available at this configure step. So we load up our configuration settings, we configure our services, and then this method gets called again as the HTTP pipeline is being configured, which means I guess if we've got other middleware, we can actually use these services to configure the middleware at runtime as we're starting the application.
Yep.
Excellent.
Cool.
Wonderful. Okay, Dave, we've got this contest going on. Do we have any winners?
No winners yet.
No winners. No chicken dinners. Okay, well, that concludes this episode. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. We'll see you next time on ASP.NET Monsters.
Thanks. Bye.
Cheers.